RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz.
Hello listeners, welcome back to our English program of our Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by press review, today in history, focus, highlight, and news in brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. To conclude our program for today, we'll present to you our daily segment, Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. This is the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headlines. National Monument and Borobudur Temple take part in Turn the World UN Blue. Commemorating its 70th anniversary, the United Nations must expand its roles. Australian new Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull to meet President Joko Widodo. Now the news in detail. On October 24th, more than 150 iconic monuments, buildings, museums, bridges, and other landmarks in more than 45 countries around the world will be lit up blue, the official color of the United Nations, as part of a global campaign to commemorate the 70th anniversary of the United Nations. The National Monument or Monas and Borobudur Temple in Indonesia will be lit blue to highlight the joint 70th anniversary of Indonesian independence and the founding of the United Nations. Many world-famous landmarks will be lit blue, from Sydney Opera House in Australia, Great Pyramids of Giza in Egypt, Statue of Christ the Redeemer in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, Empire State Building in New York, the ancient city of Petra in Jordan, and the Leaning Tower of Pisa in Italy. In Indonesia, the National Monument and Borobudur Temple will participate in the commemoration. Borobudur is chosen because it is one of the World Heritage Sites recognized by the United Nations Educational Culture or UNESCO. The two buildings have expressed their willingness to participate in interesting initiatives anniversary of the United Nations in 2015. Head of Borobudur Tourism Park Unit Krishnamurti Adiningrum says that he appreciates the 70th anniversary of the United Nations and expressed readiness to color blue Borobudur Temple to show its participation in the 17th UN anniversary.
Senang sekali Borobudur termasuk yang dipilih untuk membirukan.
We are happy to know that Borobudur has been selected in the turn the word UN blue in the UN 70th anniversary. Borobudur color is not blue, but we deliberately put blue lights so that we can participate on October the 24th. Meanwhile, head of Borobudur Temple Conservation Center, Marcy Sutopo, said that Borobudur's participation in the Turn the World UN Blue celebration is an honor not only for people around Borobudur, but also for all Indonesian people, because Borobudur is an ancestral cultural heritage of Indonesia, as well as the World Heritage recognized by the United Nations. Director of Intra-Regional of Asia-Pacific and Africa, Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Benjamin Scott Karnadi, said that 70 years of a fairly mature age for an international organization. He said that in its 70th anniversary, the United Nations, with its 193 member countries, must expand its roles in the future.
Peran PBB yang lebih meluas.
The United Nations roles must be wider and more democratic as the world's constellation has changed. There were the big five, the US, UK, France, Russia, and China. But now there are many emerging economies. There are many developing countries which have influences in the world. So the United Nations must keep pace with the world's development. Benjamin further said that there have been many advances for the United Nations cooperation, such as the Millennium Development Goals and Sustainable Development Goals. He said another cooperation also needs to be improved. According to Benjamin, cooperation under the United Nations should be implementable, not only a vision. On the sidelines of the ministerial meeting of the 15th Indian Ocean Rim Association IORA in Padang, West Sumatra on Friday afternoon, on October the 23rd, Indonesian and Australian delegation held a special bilateral meeting. At the meeting, the heads of delegations of the two countries were represented by Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno LP Marsudi and her Australian counterpart Julie Bishop. And in a press conference after the bilateral meeting, Australian Foreign Minister Julie Bishop said that the meeting discussed the current situation both regionally and internationally, and also discussed the visit of Australian new Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull to Indonesia in the near future.
Finally, we hope Prime Minister Turnbull will be able to visit President Widodo this year. They had a very constructive and positive conversation upon Prime Minister Turnbull coming to office, and we're looking forward to establishing a rapport between our two leaders as we continue to work together as neighbours, as friends, as partners in so many of the regional and global challenges.
In the bilateral meeting, the two foreign ministers also discussed his problem that hits Indonesia in Sumatra and Kalimantan. In regard to forests and land fires, Australia has provided assistance in the form of two water-booming Hercules aircraft to help extinguish the fires. In addition, Australian Foreign Minister Julie Bishop thanked the Indonesian government for its assistance related to the plan of opening the Australian consulate in Makassar, South Sulawesi. The United Nations Day, which falls on October the 24th and has been celebrated since 1945, is a momentum to inform the public on the goals and achievements of the United Nations. Marking the 70th anniversary on Friday, New York time, a general discussion took place involving 102 countries. The event at the UN headquarters highlighted a renewed commitment to do concrete action in accordance with theme New Commitment for Action. Indonesian Permanent Representative to the United Nations Ambassador Desra Percaya to RRI correspondent in New York after attending the discussion said 102 countries, including Indonesia, discussed the response of the five members of the UN Permanent Security Council on various issues such as the UN firm stance dealing with various human rights violation issues. Today, we are also active in a discussion group of 102 countries on the response of members of the United Nations, particularly the Security Council's members, for not refusing to give negative votes on various issues concerning genocide, major human rights violations. So that's what we convey. When it comes to the issue, it is time for the United Nations to act. It can be considered as a present from 102 countries for the United Nations to urge the Security Council members. Meanwhile, to celebrate and reflect the work of the United Nations, various musical performances were held, such as Korean Traditional Music Orchestra, Lang Lang, and the Harlem Gospel Choir. This will be followed on the 24th of October when over 200 iconic monuments, buildings, statues, bridges, and other landmarks around the world will turn blue to help unify global citizens and promote the message of peace, development, and human rights. Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno LP Marsudi held a bilateral meeting with Australian Foreign Minister Julie Bishop to continue previous talks that have been done on the sidelines of the ASEAN ministerial meeting in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, a few months ago. The bilateral meeting of the two countries' foreign affairs ministers was held on the sidelines of the 15th Indian Ocean Rim Association or IORA ministerial meeting in Padang, West Sumatra on Friday, October the 23rd. According to Minister Retno Marsudi, there are some new issues, such as the Indonesian government's appreciation for the assistance provided by the Australian government related to forest fires. In addition, the two foreign ministers also discussed the planned official visit of Australian Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull to Indonesia this year. The issue that I discussed in the bilateral meeting was firstly the appreciation of the Indonesian government for the assistance provided by the Australia government in fighting against haze. The fight against forest fires, as the Australian government has sent a plane, which now is already returned to Australia. Secondly, we talked about the planned visit of new Australian Prime Minister to Indonesia, and we talked about the right time, but it will not be long that the Prime Ministers will visit Indonesia. Furthermore, Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi said that the bilateral meeting with Foreign Minister Julie Bishop discussed about the planned meeting of 2+2, namely between Indonesian and Australian foreign ministers and defense ministers, which will take place in Jakarta on December 21st. Meanwhile, Australian Foreign Minister Julie Bishop conveyed the Australian government's plan to open a consulate general office in Makassar, South Sulawesi, which has been discussed previously. In Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. In addition, Foreign Minister Julie Bishop said that they also discussed opportunities for cooperation in the economic field as in the field of investment and trade. The meeting discussed not only bilateral issues between Indonesia and Australia, but also global issues such as conflicts in Iraq and Syria. Last item. Indonesia has included the issue of human trade or human trafficking in the draft of a Memorandum of Understanding on police cooperation between Indonesia and China that had earlier expired in 2009. Both countries have discussed again a plan to extend the MOU on police cooperation between the two countries that expired in 2009 to strengthen the cooperation between the two countries in the fields of law and security. As quoted by Antara News Agency, Indonesia's National Police Head General Badruddin Haiti said that Indonesia has already submitted a draft of the MOU, but China has not responded it so far. He said Indonesia has included issues such as cross-border crimes, corruption, illegal mining, cyber crimes, and human trafficking in the draft of MOU. He further said, until now, Indonesian representatives have brought some home around 200 Indonesian citizens who had become victims of human trafficking in China. This is a serious problem that the two countries must address. Regarding cyber crimes, General Badruddin said that this was also one of the important issues that the two countries have tackled. To end the news, here are the main points once again. National Monument and Borobudur Temple take part in turn the word UN blue. Commemorating its 70th anniversary, the UN must expand its rules. Australian new Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull to meet President Joko Widodo. That was the end of the news. I'm Anna Trijayakasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, with a press review. A variety of important events that occurred this week are summarized in press review of the week. Let's start with Media Indonesia Daily, which in its editorial on Tuesday, October the 20th, writes, weighing up Jokowi Yusuf Kala administration. Demanding too much from the performance of a new government which is only 1 year old is certainly not a wise move. However, being apathetic and simply handling all the affairs to the government are also not the right attitude. Therefore, observing the performance of 1 year reign proportionally, that's the right step. Similarly, it's the right way to look at Joko Widodo Yusuf Kala government, which is 1 year old last Tuesday, October the 20th. Joko Widodo, who named his cabinet as Kabinet Kerja or Working Cabinet, start with infrastructure government that has not been completely smooth. There are a number of legacy from the former government that have not been fully completed. Some even are still in halfway. However, through the fast steps taken and communication which is being established, problems are gradually being solved. the threat of disruption from the opposition-controlled parliament can be passed in a short time. Improvements in infrastructure, revamping licensing, as well as knitting back the spirit of mutual cooperation and harmony in a relatively quick period, Joko Widodo administration has got a serious blow of global economic crisis, which led to a slowdown in the national economy. As a result, they have to revise growth targets and cut tax revenues. People's purchasing power eroded and the threats of mass layoffs began shadowing. That was compounded by volatility in the prices of basic necessities, which tend to rise, as well as the uncertainty of a number of indicators of macroeconomic stability. The latest problems, if not responded quickly and accurately, will drain the government's positive savings that has been achieved. 1 year is just a fifth of an administration period. However, it is very crucial to determine the smoothness of the wheels of government until the end of the period. Therefore, there should be no room for rest because the work is still very far from complete. Meanwhile, Tempo Daily, in its editorial on Thursday, writes, "Learning from the Lawu Fire." Forest fire in the back of Mount Lawu, which has taken several lives and injured many others, is an evidence of how safety procedures have been disregarded or neglected. The government, through the Ministry of Forestry and the police, not for that many in Mount Lawu, it is apparent that the authority or the mountain keepers were negligent. They were not careful in selecting and recording climbers who entered the protected area. As a result, it is difficult to identify the victims who were found burnt. According to Tempo, there should be increasing alertness and improving the system of prevention. No need to wait for other casualties. Last is Compass newspaper, which in its editorial on Thursday writes, "Ending party dispute." The Supreme Court has made a final decision on the dispute in the management of the Golkar Party and the United Development Party. The Supreme Court ruled that the legitimate management is the result of National Conference of Golkar Party in 2009. National Conference in Riau put Abu Rizal Bakri as chairman and Idrus Marham as the secretary general, while Agung Laksono as vice chairman. As for the management of the United Development Party, the legitimate one is the result of Bandung Conference of 2011. The ruling in the Bandung Congress put Surya Dharma Ali as chairman of the party and Roman Nurmurzi as secretary general. Chaotic political parties that cannot be completed internally finally brought into legal channels, suing each other among the party board members, adding to the complex issue of party body. Dualism management in political parties clearly impact the life of the party. As a result, in a number of local elections to be held on December the 9th, 2015, the parties in conflict cannot nominate candidates for regional heads. Now the Supreme Court has the final word. This is the right time for both parties to resolve the dispute over the management. The internal mechanism of the party could follow the decision of the Supreme Court, whether through reconciliation or Munas, Ordinary General Assembly. According to Compass, a conflict that never ends should be resolved wisely. That was Press Review of the Week, brought to you by Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, meet again with me, Ania Sana, in our regular Today in History over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. We start from an event on October 24, 1929, about the Wall Street crash of 1929, also known as Black Tuesday. Listener, the Wall Street crash of 1929, also known as Black Tuesday, the Great Crash or the Stock Market Crash of 1929, began on October 24, 1929, and was the most devastating stock market crash in the history of the United States when taking into consideration the full extent and duration of its fallout. The crash signaled the beginning of the 10-year Great Depression that affected all Western industrialized countries. And the next event was in 1945 when the United Nations was established. The United Nations, or UN, is an intergovernmental organization to promote international cooperation. A replacement for the ineffective League of Nations, the organization was established on October 24, 1945, after World War II, in order to prevent another such conflict. At its founding, the UN had 51 member states. There are now 193. The headquarters of the United Nations is in Manhattan, New York City, and experiences extraterritoriality, and further main offices are situated in Geneva, Nairobi, and Vienna. The organization is financed by assessed and voluntary contributions from its member states. Its objectives include maintaining international peace and security, promoting human rights, fostering social and economic development, protecting the environment, and providing humanitarian aid in cases of famine, natural disaster, and armed conflict. And the last event was in 2009 when swine influenza virus is common throughout pig populations worldwide. Swine influenza, also called pig influenza, swine flu, hog flu, and pig flu, is an infection caused by any one of several types of swine influenza viruses. Swine influenza virus, or SIV, or swine origin influenza virus, SOIV, is any strain of the influenza family of viruses that is endemic in pigs. As of 2009, the known SIV strains include influenza C and the subtypes of influenza A known as H1N1, H1N2, H2N1, H3N1, H3N2, and H3N3. Swine influenza virus is common throughout pig populations worldwide. Transmission of the virus from pigs to humans is not common and does not always lead to human flu, often resulting only in the production of antibodies in the blood. If transmission does cause human flu, it is called zoonotic swine flu. People with regular exposure to pigs are at increased risk of swine flu infection. In August 2010, the World Health Organization declared the swine flu pandemic officially over. And listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Focus. Today it's on Indonesia Trade Expo. President Joko Widodo on Wednesday, October the 21st in Jakarta Fair Arena, officially opened the 30th Trade Expo Indonesia without a speech. The president was accompanied by Minister of Commerce Thomas Lembong, Minister of Industry Saleh Hussein, and Vice Governor of Jakarta Jarod Saiful Hidayat. The largest trade show that of an international scale is being held until Sunday, October the 25th. In the opening speech, Trade Minister Thomas Lembong admitted that the fallen prices of crude products in the world market has lowered foreign exchange earnings. So now Indonesia is relying on export of goods and services. Thomas Lembong said the Trade Expo Indonesia is an important instrument in promoting Indonesian export products. He added that the Trade Expo is one of the tools to improve market access and market diversification of export destinations, especially non-traditional markets and the emerging markets. After the opening, President Joko Widodo told reporters that he had assigned the trade minister and Indonesian ambassadors abroad to pursue non-traditional markets. He also said that businesses still have an opportunity to expand the market. The government has also given stimulus to businesses to strengthen and encourage exports. Chairman of Trade Expo Indonesia organizers, Nuzulia Ishak, said that the Trade Expo is expected to be with 19 countries with a tax transaction come to visit the Trade Expo. They were taken by the Indonesian ambassador to Australia, Najib Rifat Kusuma. Meanwhile, Indonesian ambassador to Malaysia, Herman Prayitno, brought 130 buyers from the country. What is interesting from the Trade Expo Indonesia is the participation of the National Agency for Policemen and Protection of Indonesian Workers. With the theme Remarkable Indonesian Overseas Workers, the agency is featuring the expertise of prospective professional workforce who are ready to compete and work in foreign countries. Areas of expertise and professional demonstrated are hospitality services, oil mining, construction, manufacturing, information technology, robotic, automotive, airport management workers, land and sea transportation, as well as health services. Well, that was Focus today on Indonesia Trade Expo. This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with headline news. Here are some headlines of national newspapers published in Jakarta today, October the 24th, 2015. Let's begin with Kompas newspaper, which writes, "The President said, prepare the humanitarian operation." President Joko Widodo called for massive rescue on forest fires. The rescue is conducted with evacuating residents to the nearby government offices, public facilities, or warship move closer to the fire location. These steps is taken so that the impacts of the perceived health of citizens are not worse. The president instructed all the ministries to concentrate and go into the field, especially with regard to the impacts on children and infants. In particular, the president asked the health minister Nila F. Muluk to find appropriate solutions to deal with those affected by smog. Over to Media Indonesia newspaper, which in its headline writes, "Objectivity First." Chairman of the National Democratic Party, Nasdem, Surya Paloh, after questioned by the KPK or Commission, Corruption Eradication Commission, for 3 hours in Jakarta on Friday, hopes that all parties give priority to objectivity rather than suspicion in connection with cases involving former Secretary General of the party, Patrice Rio Capella. The press asked about the alleged involvement of suspected bribery of Patrice Rio Capella with Attorney General Prasetyo, who is also Nasdem party cadres. Although there are suspicions, Surya Paloh believes the commission will not budge. Hopefully, the professional commission investigators could see the extent of his objectivity in being present to provide information. Surya Paloh admitted that commission investigators had asked about a meeting at the head office of his party in Jakarta some time ago, which was attended by Surya Paloh, non-active Sumatra Governor Gatot Pujo Nugroho, Vice Governor Tengku Eri Nuradi, and former chairman of the party court, Oce Kaligis. To the investigator, Surya Paloh said he was willing if the meeting had to be reconstructed. Last is Business Indonesia newspaper, which in its headline writes, "Complete tax amnesty policy." President Joko Widodo asked relevant ministries and parliament to complete the legal framework for the tax amnesty extension of the tax base. Coordinating Minister for Economic Darmin Nasution in the presidential palace in Jakarta on Friday said the president wants the draft on the bill submitted by the government and parliament about the tax amnesty soon be completed. To that end, the government wants an audience with the parliament to be done in order to accelerate the completion of the policy. Meanwhile, Finance Minister Bambang P.S. Brojonegoro said the settlement of rules on tax amnesty is an important incentive to broaden the tax base in the country. Well, that was headlines of Jakarta newspapers brought to you by RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Time now for us to bring you news in brief. On the 24th of October, more than 150 iconic monuments, buildings, museums, bridges, and other landmarks in more than 45 countries around the world will be lit up blue, the official color of the United Nations, as part of a global campaign to commemorate the 70th anniversary of the United Nations. National Monument and Borobudur Temple in Indonesia will be lit blue to highlight the joint 70th anniversary of Indonesian independence and the founding of the United Nations. Director of Intra-Regional of Asia-Pacific and Africa, Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Benjamin Scott Karnadi, said 70 years is a fairly mature age for an international organization. He said in its 70th anniversary, the United Nations, with its 193 members countries, must expand its roles in the future. On the sidelines of the ministerial meeting of the 15th Indian Ocean Rim Association, IORA, in Padang, West Sumatra, Indonesia, on Friday afternoon, Indonesian and Australian delegations held a special bilateral meeting. The United Nations Day, which falls on October the 24th and has been celebrated since 1945, is a momentum to inform the public on the goals and achievements of the United Nations. Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi held a bilateral meeting with Australian Foreign Minister Julie Bishop to continue previous talks that have been done on the sidelines of the ASEAN ministerial meeting in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, a few months ago. Indonesia has included the issue of human trafficking in the draft of a Memorandum of Understanding on police cooperation between Indonesia and China that had earlier expired in 2009. That was the end of News in Brief. I'm Anna Trijayakasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Voice of Indonesia, keeping dignity alive.
You still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequencies 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen to our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Listener, it is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder. Hello, listener. It is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll introduce you to Pasilagek Mentawai typical ritual in West Sumatra. So stay tuned. Listener, Mentawai Islands is a regency in West Sumatra province. There are four islands which form Mentawai Islands, namely Siberut, Sipora, North Pagai and South Pagai Islands. Most of people living on this island is Mentawai tribe, which are from Siberut Island. Its family on this island consists of 5 until 15 persons who live in the village or farm near the forest. They live at Mentawai traditional house called Uma. Until now, Mentawai people have still preserved local wisdom by holding Pasilagek ritual. Pasilagek is a medical ritual of Mentawai people. This ritual is led by Sikere. Sikere is a shaman and medical expert of Mentawai people. The shaman wears a headdress in the form of a series of beads and feathers, accessories tied behind the head, and a series of necklaces and glass beads, bracelets on the elbows and arms, belts of fabric, as well as the lion cloth as a substitute for pants. During Pasilagek ritual procession, Sikere sits on a rattan mat in the middle of the room, not far from room or the sick people. Pasilagek ritual is started by refining leaf or masigiok pamiruk. During the procession, Sikere keeps reading a mantra. In front of the sick people, 2 empty plates are put to accommodate the shredded leaves. The mantra, which has been read, signs that Sikere is communicating with the ancestor or Ukui, which will help Sikere in the ritual. Pasilagek is believed to be not only held by Sikere, but also by ancestor or the ruler of a place, such as forest, the sea, or river, where the people have the disease. After the procession ends, the sick people are carried out of the room to meet the Sikere or the shaman. Listener, after the sick people meet Sikere, then Sikere begins Pasibit-bit procession. This procession is to cast out evil spirits, which makes people sick. While standing, Sikere holds leaves along with a small bell, which is then moved over the patient's head. Sikere walks outside of the room while shaking the leaves and bell. Sikere looks like pushing invisible thing to go out of the room. The movement is repeated for 4 times. At the end, Sikere puts the leaves on ventilation to prevent the evil spirits come again to the house. Sikere smears leaves that have been mashed into the patient's body. This procession is known as Pasiporot. The procession, which is accompanied by a light massage, is held 2 times. Firstly, it aims to repel the disease in the patient. Secondly, it functions as the medication for the disease. This procession is closed by slaughtering chicken or pasimate go-go. In Mentawai, there is a belief if somebody is sick, his or her soul has left his her or her body. Because of that, Simagere, or calling the soul procession, is held. Simagere is held by Sikere by sitting near the door of the house. Sikere reads mantra in front of a plate containing chicken's heart. After that, Sikere comes in the room and gives part of the chicken's liver to the sick people as a media to give back the patient's soul. Before finishing the job, Sikere sits beside the family's head and reads the mantra again. This step is to give power and to calm down the family of the sick. Finally, Pasilagek ritual ends. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today featuring Pasilagek Mentawai typical ritual in West Sumatra. We meet again tomorrow with another interesting topic. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Miscellany.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Miscellany, a regular segment which bring you information on Indonesian interesting places, art and culture, lifestyle, and also technology element. This edition will be about 20th anniversary in San Francisco on October 1945 and has a membership of almost of all countries in the world. In the African Union Summit on June 26, 2014, in Malabo, Equatorial Guinea, the UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon announced the start of a global commemoration of the 70th anniversary of the United Nations to appreciate the variety of historical achievement of the United Nations in development, peacekeeping, and human rights protection. Hopefully, this anniversary will be able to unite the international community for a common goal, namely strengthening the United Nations and building a better world. With the theme Strong UN, Better World, the United Nations is always trying to help all countries toward a better direction. The institution that always partial to the people become the backbone of any country in a crisis or conflict. According to Ban Ki-moon, the 2015 is the year of opportunity, which will not happen again for the current generation. The United Nations task is together to end poverty, to move forward and build a life with dignity for all. In celebrating the 70th anniversary, UN the Hammarskjöld Library presents the exploration of 70 key documents that have shaped the United Nations and the world. Although the UN Charter was signed on June 26, 1945, the new UN General Assembly set October the 24th as the day of the United Nations, and October the 20th until 26th serves as the United Nations Week. Well, that was Miscellany Today with information about the United Nations 70th anniversary. Thank you for listening. Until next edition of Miscellany, I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another Miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listeners of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back with me, Mariati, in Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian original music, either traditional or modern ones. In addition, through shortwave 9525 kHz, you can also listen to this program through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id or through mobile application RRI Play and RRI World Service on your smartphones. In today's edition, I'll introduce you to Papinka Band from Sumatra. Papinka is abbreviation from Pangkal Pinang, Kota Bangka. This band offers pop romantic lyric in their hit single entitled Dirimu Bukan Untukku, or in English means You Are Not For Me. Well, VOI listeners, to initiate Music Corner for today, let's listen to Di Mana Hatimu, or Where Is Your Heart? Let's check it out.
Kau dapat rasakan hatiku, rasa cintaku padamu. Kau yang selalu menduakanku, sungguh terluka hatiku. Sekian lama ku memendam rasa, rasa hati yang terluka. Tapi bila kau bahagia, rela ku melepaskanmu. Karena cinta dalam hatimu, semua itu memang bukanlah untukku. Bahagialah selalu dalam hidupmu, bila kau mencintainya, tak bisa ku melupakanmu. Diriku yang menyayangimu, kau yang dulu yang selalu ku rindu. Dirimu bukanlah yang dulu, diriku yang mencintaimu. Semoga selalu bahagia hidupmu. Dirimu bukanlah untukku.
Sekian lama ku memendam rasa, rasa hati yang terluka. Lepaskanmu. Karena cinta dalam hatimu, semua itu memang bukanlah
It is not easy for Papinka band to enter the Indonesian music industry. It requires hard work and persistence of Papinka personnel, which consists of Sefra Yolandi vocalist, BJ drummer, Rio guitarist, and Andre bassist. It's worth giving thumb up. They intended to make their band having opportunity on national stage. Because of their strong talent in music through audition, finally Papinka band was established. Together with their manager Agus Arif and Himawan Chandra alias Berry, they created a song entitled Di Mana Hatimu, or in English means Where is Your Heart? Then they offered the single to Nagaswara. The single Di Mana Hatimu tells about love and private experience, about a love couple who has been together for years but finally separated. VOI listeners, here is Di Mana Hatimu.
Kasih di mana hatimu, tak pernah mencoba melupakanmu.
In their career, Papin Kaben has a motto, namely TIM, meaning T-Time Schedule. Every personnel must have schedule in their activities. Then in innovation, Papinka personnel must look for a new thing in playing music, and the last motto is maturity, namely mature attitude, meaning not whiny, arrogant, and low profile. Papinka band is popular in Pangkal Pinang, where they come. Papinka fans are called Papiners. Papinka personnel always greet Papiners through Facebook and Twitter, Papinka Band. Well, if you are listeners, to conclude Music Corner for today, let's listen to songs from Papinka Band entitled Kau Pilih Dia, or You Choose Her, and Luka di Hatiku, or Hurt in My Heart. Thank you for listening, and sampai jumpa.
Dalam hidupku, rela untuk bertahan dengan dirimu. Sungguh terlalu kau sakiti diriku, tinggalkan aku. Haruskah ku melupakan dirimu di dalam hidupku? Namun aku tak akan pernah mampu ku mencintaimu. Mengertilah sesungguhnya, bila kau memilih dia, tak bisa, ku tak rela, ku pasti terluka karena dia yang kau cinta. Kini semua berbeda, kau dan dia bahagia. Hati sakiti diriku, tinggalkan aku. Haruskah ku melupakan dirimu di dalam hidupku? Namun aku takkan pernah mampu ku mencintaimu. Mengertilah sesungguhnya, bila kau memilih dia, ku tak bisa, ku tak rela, ku pasti terluka karena dia yang kau cinta. Kini semua berbeda, kau dan dia bahagia. Hatiku terluka, mengertilah sesungguhnya, bila kau memilih dia, ku tak bisa. Ku pasti terluka.
cinta, kini semua berbeda. Kau dan dia bahagia, hatiku terluka.
Voice of Indonesia, let's make the world green.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.